This morning, if you would please turn to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians, chapter number 3. And as you are turning there, just to give you some context on the passage, the book of Colossians is written to some churches in the region, and during this time, Paul is under house arrest, and he is dealing with some false teaching to these people during this time. And the truth that he is trying to explain to these people is that Christ is sufficient for all things. That in him they can find purpose. In him they can find peace. In him they can find joy. But ultimately in him they can be complete. And this is the idea that Paul is speaking as we get into our text this morning of Colossians chapter number 3. Look what it says in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. A life made new because of Christ should now live for Christ. Our lives should be reflective of the one who saved us. Paul's desire was for these people to understand who they were in Christ, but more importantly, they should also understand that they should live a certain way as a result of being in Christ. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, does your daily life reflect your new life in Christ? There are many people who attain or try to accumulate wealth and purpose in this world, and they try to have their lives reflect that. But if we have a new life in Christ, all lives should reflect what he has done in us and through us. And this morning, I want us to look at three aspects of a new life that we have in Christ. First of all, notice in this verse, in the first few verses, that we have a new identity. Look what it says in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. You see, our position in Christ is different. Before we received Christ, we were against him. We had the wrath of God on us. But because of a new life in Christ, our position is different. Paul said that if you are claiming identity with Christ, then we should seek those things which are above. Aren't you thankful this morning that the gospel story doesn't just end with Jesus dying on the cross? Aren't you thankful that he rose again and he conquered the grave? He conquered death. And because of the power of his resurrection, we now have victory that we can experience in this life. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4 says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And it's because of the resurrection that we can live in victory. Our position is different because of the resurrection. There was an emphasis in those verses that Paul gives about the gospel, but he continues speaking about the resurrection. If you continue reading in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Paul is saying that if Christ had not been resurrected, if there was no power of the resurrection, if we did not have that, then his preaching is in vain. His ministry to God is in vain. Then our faith is also in vain. He continues to stop by saying that, and we are found false witnesses of God. He's saying that we are also not telling the truth of the resurrection if Christ did not rise again. And in verse 17, he says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. You see, if Christ did not resurrect from the dead, then there would be no completion or finishing of salvation. It says in verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Imagine those family members who have passed away in Christ. There would be no hope for them. There would be no hope for you or I. And there would definitely be no hope for the future. And he says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He said that if Christ did not rise again from the dead, and if all hope was in Christ, then it would be all in vain. But aren't you thankful this morning that we don't have to worry about that? We don't have to worry about whether Christ rose again from the dead, because he did. He is alive this morning, and that's why we can live in victory. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then he would be no different than all the false religions. He would be no different than those false gods who are still buried in their grave. But aren't you thankful that on the third day, he rose again from the grave, and he is giving us a new life that we can experience and have hope that is only found in him. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. See, without Christ, there is no hope. And we live in no way of having victory. But our position is changed as a result of Christ and the resurrection. How are you living your life this morning? Are you living in the victory that God has given you, or are you living day to day without? As I was thinking about living a victorious Christian life, I imagined if my favorite football team or my favorite basketball team, if they won a championship. I remember last year when my favorite basketball team, when they advanced to go to the semifinals before going to the NBA finals. I remember that night after we won. My grandmother called me from Minnesota, and she was telling me, she said, Ben, everyone's jumping up. Everyone's running down the street. They cannot believe that they won the championship. Can you imagine if I walked in that next day and you said, oh, Brother Ben, your team won. How do you feel? What if I said, oh, the coach got fired. Oh, this guy got injured. It's great we won, but all these things happened. That's not living in victory. You know, sometimes I feel like when we live day to day, we sometimes forget about the victory that God has given us, and we get so focused on the world and everything that's being distracted and everything that's going on that we easily forget that because we are saved, because we have victory through Christ, we forget to live day to day, week to week in that victory. Because of what Christ has done for you and for me, our position is different. Not only that, but our focus should also be different. Look what it says in verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. There are many things grasping at our attention this morning. I'm sure as soon as you walked in, there were things that are bothering you in your heart, in your mind, whether it's family, whether it's things that's going on at work. I'm not sure what that may be. But this morning, it's important to realize that if our focus, if our affections are on these, is on this earth, we won't be able to focus on what really matters. Because as Christians, now that our position is different, but our focus should be different. It should be set on things above, not on things here on this earth. We also see that we have a different hope. In verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What is Paul saying? What does it mean to be dead to self? Well, he also says this in Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The idea that he gives in verse number 3, for ye are dead, as I was reading that, you know, that's something that's not attractive. Something that's dead, that's not very good. If you drive down the street and you see a deer or some sort of animal that got hit by a car and it's dying, it's there, it's not attractive. You know, I have no desire to get pulled over to the side and pick up that dead animal and put it in my car. Why? Yes, it's dead. That's not something that we would want. But what Paul is saying, what it means to be dead to self is those things that we wore in our past, those things that were keeping us in bondage, that sin, we should be dead to it. We shouldn't be wanting to go back to what Christ has saved us from. We shouldn't be wanting to desire those things. We should be focused on things that are in heaven. But more importantly, when temptation comes, if sin comes into our lives, we should be dead to it. We understand this morning that temptations do come, trials do come. But if we have a new life in Christ, our focus is different. But also we have hope. You see, we can live a victorious Christian life if we are guided by God. You see, when we are dead to self, we no longer put ourselves in charge. We no longer put ourselves in authority. We rather look to God and surrender ourselves to him. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, as if once you receive him into your heart, then our bodies, ourselves, is no longer our own. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's no longer me that's in charge of me. It's God that's guiding me if I'm surrendered to him. How do we know the perfect will of God? That's a question that gets asked all the time. How do we have our minds renewed? It's by being surrendered to God. It's through dying to self, but it's that daily walk with God that can allow our minds to be renewed and transformed. Aren't you thankful this morning that our hope is no longer in a human? It's no longer in this earth, but our hope can be found in Christ. See, that's what Paul was trying to teach these churches, that their sufficiency can't be found in the nation, it can't be found in the government, but their sufficiency, they can be complete through Christ. And this morning, I can encourage you this morning that I'm thankful that our hope isn't found in a government, it's not found in a nation, it's not found in resources, but it is found through Christ. Our hope is in Christ this morning, who has promised that he will come back for us. John 14:1-3 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's so easy to be troubled by things. It's so easy to be distracted of what's going on around us. But Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about it. Let not your heart be troubled. We have hope in Christ for our future. And the result of having this hope is us living in a way that reflects Christ. Not only do I see that there was a new identity, but notice what it says in verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Then in verse 6, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. See, not only do we have a new identity in Christ, but secondly, we also have a new direction. We now have a responsibility. Paul is saying, hey, our responsibility is to kill the flesh. Our new direction and responsibility is to live according to the fruits of the Spirit, which are Christ-like. You see, our responsibility is to take sin seriously. Paul says it so seriously, in fact, that he said we ought to kill those members which are upon the earth. What he lists there with those sins, those are all the things that we were known by before Christ. But if we have a new life in Christ, we should look to live according to the way he wants us to live. What is your view on sin? Do you realize the way that God feels about sin? See, he knew that there was nothing that you or I could do because of our sins, which is why he sent his son to die for us, because it's our sin that is condemning us. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You see, the context of Isaiah was the children of Israel, they had their sins had separated them from God. And it's the same with us this morning. It's because of our sins that we cannot have a relationship with God, which is why he sent his son for us. Look what it says in verse 7, in the which he also walked some time when he lived in them. Paul's explained that, hey, the way that you lived, that's your past. But now you should be in a new life. You see, that's what the world is known for. That's what the old man is known for these sins. And in that time, we did walk with them. We did live like them. We were like the world because we were of the world. But now, our new life in Christ, it's not known by our past. It's known by what Christ has done for us and how we should live through him. You know, there are many things that people are known for. There were athletes known for winning championships, setting records. But this morning, what are you known for? If anyone were to go to your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, what would they say about you? Would they say, oh, this brother right here, he goes to church, he loves the Lord. I know that everything's not perfect in this life, but if you talk to him, you wouldn't know it. He has the peace and the joy of Christ in his life. And the point isn't to bring attention to you. The point isn't to bring attention to me. The point is that they ought to live a life. We ought to live a life that points others to God. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, that's the main difference. The difference is many people that try to attain things and gather wealth and be famous is they want their names and lights. They want to be known for those things. But as a Christian, when we live a life for Christ, we want people to look at us and not see us, but we want people to look at us and see Christ. Our goal in life shouldn't be to draw attention to ourselves, but our lives should be all about glorifying Christ. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. See, this verse isn't talking about that you can be as holy as God, no. Because no one can ever be as holy as God. But this is talking about the way that we should live. Verse 15, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We are called to live a certain way because of who we are in Christ. Colossians 3, 23 through 24, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. for ye serve the Lord Christ. And whatever we do, whether it's our workplace, our conversation, our lives, instead of doing it for yourself or for someone else, we serve God. And he deserves our best because he is worthy. He says in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Hey, if you serve the Lord, you will get those rewards. But remember, you serve the Lord Christ. Why do we do what we do? Why do we have people who serve? Why do we have opportunities so that you can get involved? It's not so that you can get a handshake. It's not that so that you can get a pat on the back, even though we're thankful for your help. We're thankful for when we all can serve together. But ultimately, we serve so that we can please God and glorify him with the talents that he has given us, because he is worthy. And whatever we do, we need to do our best for the Lord instead of doing it for man. Now, we all know what it means to admire someone or to be a fan of someone. I remember when I was about 10 or 11 years old, for my birthday, I got a Minnesota Vikings calendar. And I was so excited, I hung it up in my wall, and every month there was a new player that I was looking forward to seeing. On one year, I remember Adrian Peterson, one of my favorite running backs to watch. He was in the month October. I couldn't wait for October. Another safety, one of my favorite safeties, Harrison Smith, he was also in July. I couldn't wait for that month. But you know, we all have people, whether it's athletes, celebrities, whatever it may be, who we admire. And the conversations that I've had with Brother Noah recently is, you know, if you could have conversations or spend time with anyone, who would it be? And interesting names are pulled out of that conversation. But imagine if whichever that person is in your life that you admire, imagine if they walked in just one Sunday, whether in church or at your home, whatever it may be. How would you feel? Now, I'm sure you would try to offer them something to drink, maybe a meal, or just to have a conversation with them. You know, you would be very excited, and you would want to do all you can to serve your best, because it's someone famous or someone you admire. And if we feel that way about an earthly person, how much more should we serve God? The one who saved us, the one who was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who loved us, who saved us. How much more should we do and serve our best for him? He's preparing a place for us. He died for us. He sent his son to shed his blood on the cross. He's constantly blessing us, giving us good health, providing for us, doing so many things for us. Although sometimes, to our shame, we admit, and there are times we don't do our best for him. See, our new life in Christ, what he has done for us, that should motivate us to not only serve him with our best, but also to live for him. You see, our new direction should lead us to a new purpose. Look what it says in verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. A result of our new life in Christ is we have a new purpose. Here's what we are called to do: to put off the old man, to put off those old things from our past that we do. We ought to put off those evil things. Why? Because they don't flatter Christ. It's a sin that he saved us from. But because it's dirty. And no matter how many times you wish, no matter how many times you hope, something dirty does not go with something clean. They are opposite, and they don't go together no matter what. If you go in the kitchen and you want to get a plate or a cup, And you get it and you look at it, you want to make sure that it's not dirty. You want to use a clean dish. If Christ has saved us from sin, our purpose isn't to continue in what he has saved us from, but it's to live a new life in Christ. Our goal is to bring glory to God. And we do that a whole lot better if we are clean. Paul talks about that to Timothy, that there are many vessels in a house. And he says that there are some who are set for honor and some for dishonor. Our new life in Christ, God wants to use us, and he has a purpose for us, and we are complete in him. That's for sure. But if we want God to use us, we need to be clean, because he will not use a dirty vessel. If we are going to put something off, we need to put something on. Look what it says in verse 10. And I've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. See, by putting on the new man, we are renewed by the knowledge of God. And then it's through his word that we are renewed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Ephesians 4:22-24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, when I read what we just read in Colossians 3, the old man, the sin, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy communication, no, that's really not that attractive. But when we read the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, love, long-suffering, what we should be in our new life in Christ, that's a lot more attractive. But it shouldn't be attractive to who we are, because there's nothing that we have done. This should point others to Christ. How are we renewed? We are renewed through our pursuit of Christ. Are you pursuing Christ this morning? Are you seeking after him? You may say this morning that, oh, it sounds great. I want to have the fruit of the Spirit. I want to have peace. I want to have joy. I want to have love. And if that's your desire, that's a blessing this morning. That's my desire as well. But you can't do it on your own. You can't ever be who you desire or want to be without Christ's strength in your life. And he has promised you that he would. But the question is, are you pursuing him? Are you seeking after him? The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Because Christ has given us a new identity, we now walk in a new direction, but we also live in a new purpose. A new life in Christ. If you have accepted that life and you are now living a life for Christ, that's not the end. It's just the beginning. He didn't save you to just sit and do nothing, but he has a purpose for you. He has a calling for you, and he has God's, and he has a will for you. A life made new in Christ should now live in a way that brings glory to him. Let's bow our head, close our eyes, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time that we can gather this morning. I thank you that even though circumstances around us may not be the way we want it or the way that we have planned, but thank you that ultimately you are in control and your way is best. I pray that you would be with each and every one this morning. I pray that if there's anyone that's joining us this morning that has not experienced a new life in you, I pray that they would accept you as their Savior and understand that they can have purpose, they can have meaning in their life through you. I thank you for all you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.